My heart is full to have the privilege to come to this little meeting. This is my Monarch. I didn't get to go to Monarch the last 2 years. So on the way up, I was talking to someone on the phone, and I said, well, this is my Monarch, to get to come and be with the little congregation here at Wichita. And I apologize for being maybe a little hasty in getting up. This is my only day I can be here. I have to leave after the service to return home. I'm not able still to sleep in a bed, so I'm limited on how long I can be away from my own house. But I want to start out this morning and say, I am standing before you in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
And God has been very good. He is great.
Yes.
And he has shown me great mercy and compassion, and he has worked where no man can work.
Thank you, Lord.
So that's my testimony, and I want to leave it with you this morning. But I'm leaning on the Lord, and I desire your prayers that the Lord will bless his word and make it profitable to each of us. And again, I just want to say I am so blessed to be here this morning. The Lord, I'm going to say the Lord laid it on my heart a couple of weeks ago, and I thought, how can I do that, Lord? I'm not afraid of driving up here by myself, but I didn't know how I would get up here. So I knew Gertrude was going to be here, and I thought, Gertrude can help me. So I thank the Lord. Well, this morning I have a question, and I'll give you the title of our message a little bit further on. And the question is, have you ever been between a rock and a hard place? And I'm going to say that it's common to man to be between a rock and a hard place. So we're going to speak on hard places. That's not the title. As I was seeking the Lord, this thought came to me that the Christian life is the best life. And we proclaim it. We all say it from time to time to one another, and maybe to others. We say, this is the best life. We might say things like, it's a blessed life. And it is a blessed life. And yet, when we consider each one of us had to count the cost of choosing this life, so we are still, as we go along, we're still counting the cost. And the cost is, will we have sufficient to build? Will we have sufficient? Well, we know that we cannot have grace for tomorrow, but we can have grace for today. And my choice today is to still choose the good life. Jesus said, he indicated in all of his teachings what would be in the path of his disciples and all who would follow him. And these are the words that he used. And I say that these words are the saint's vocabulary. I believe we all understand what they represent, and we have experienced it. But he said words like suffering, tribulation,
yes,
sorrow and grief, and afflictions and persecutions and offenses and much more. And I don't know if you've really taken note of the songs that we sing. They're written on those vocabulary words. They're repeated often throughout our songs. So the writers of those of our hymnal experienced those kind of things in their life. Hard places. I heard about a visitor that attended one of the saints' prayer meetings. And of course, most of our prayer meetings and our testimonies are places where God has helped us through hard places. And this person, whoever this was, I only heard about this, they said, if that is what it means to be a Christian, I don't want anything to do with it. They were pushing away from the hard places. But you know, the saints of God and those who have made their choice to follow the Lord and take up their cross daily and drink of their cup and whatever is in your life, you chose it because I believed, you believed, it was the good life.
That's right.
It's the way to heaven. So we have our vocabulary and we know what it means and we have experienced it. And God has always proven himself, hasn't he?
Yes, he has.
Proven himself to us in our hard places. It's not uncommon at all for us to have hard places.
Yes.
So we mustn't be disillusioned. If we're disillusioned, we'll be disappointed because we're going to meet these places. So I want to speak to you a little bit about the life and the example of Joseph. I'm going to be reading from Psalms 31, verse 7 to start with, just as a little, I liked the verse, as a little introduction. And that says, "Thou hast known my soul in adversity." God knows each one of us in our adversities. And he's with us in the midst of our adversities.
Right.
He knows how to help us, to work with us, to minister to us, to uphold us in the midst of our adversity. So God knows your soul in the midst of adversity. When you have been in adversity, he knows it and he understands it. And he knows how to help us. So now I want to read Psalms 105, 17 through 21. And then I'll skip over to Genesis 45, read parts of verses 4, 5, and 8. And it says in Psalms, "And he sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in iron until the time that his word came. And the word of the Lord tried him, and the king loosed him, even the ruler, and let him go free." I skipped a few words there. "He made him lord of his house and ruler of all of his substance. And in the end," and that's my words, go over to Genesis now, "he's standing before his brethren, and they don't know who he is, but he knows them. This is the end of Joseph." You know, those that we read about in the scriptures, those patriarchs of the Bible, we have the privilege of knowing their end. We have their whole story. We're not left hanging. "Well, I wonder what happened to Joseph." No, the dreams were fulfilled. His brethren came. They bowed before him just as the Lord gave him his dream. And this is the part that I love. I love the story of Joseph when he says to his brethren, reveals himself, "I am Joseph, your brother. It was not you that sent me hither, but God."
That's right.
Oh, we know the account of Joseph and how that when he first recognized his brothers, he had to go privately and shed some bitter tears. But oh, listen, he had a wonderful end. But he had some hard places. He went through very hard places. The fact that his own brethren sold him as a slave, that was hard. When he was taken down into Egypt and everything that God did for him, wherever he was, in those hard places, God blessed him.
Yes.
Prospered whoever was over him. His work, his labor was evident that there was a God in heaven. He trusted in that God, and yet he may have questioned God. I think he did. I think he may have said, "Lord, what is happening to me? What Why am I in Egypt? Why? Do you think you would ask those questions? I think we all would. And maybe when we get in our hard places, we may say, Lord, why? Why am I here? And yet we look at these accounts and we see that God brought them through the hard places and out. And he brought every one of them out into a wealthy place. Now, we haven't seen the end of our lives, have we? But what are your expectations? The scripture says, my expectations are in him. I haven't made it yet. I haven't got my crown. But he says, I'm going to bring you out into a wealthy place. He brought Joseph out into a wealthy place. But as I examine the kind of trial and test, his faith was tried. Are you going to be disturbed when your faith is tried? Or will you be as Joseph, and he stood true? His patience was tried. Oh, we can be so tried in our patience when our trials last a long time. When it isn't over in a day. I'd like to tell you an experience that I had a number of years ago. And yes, my patience was tried. Monarch was always like my New Year. And that particular year, it seemed like I always was able to get something from Monarch that carried me over. That year, it wasn't so. And I went home, and I was down praying and seeking the Lord. And the Lord put these words in my mouth. And then it was as though he stood back and to see what I would do with those words. And the words were, Lord, I want you to try me. And I knew I was asking for something hard. But there was such a sweetness of the Spirit of the Lord, a pleasure that God had for me to willingly say, I want you to try me. And I prayed that way. I started praying that way every time I prayed, Lord, I want you to try me. Well, I knew when the trying started. But I said to myself, oh, I can bear this. I can get through this, but it didn't end in a month. It didn't end in 6 months. It went for 3 years. At the beginning, you may not know how long you may be in a trial. Joseph didn't know how long it would be for him. And he didn't know what his end, he did not know what his end would be. But his patience was tried. His endurance. We're going to be tried with our endurance. And the word of the Lord verifies this when it says to us, for you and me to endure hardness as a good soldier. When it says for us to endure to the end to be saved. We can't give up along the way. We can't turn our back. We can't push the cup away. We can't say, I don't want that, carry that cross. So Joseph was tried, possibly even in his confidence in God. We may be tried also, wondering what God is really allowing in our life. But I want to look at a little portion of the verse that I just read in Psalms. And it says, he was laid in iron. And there is a reference that says it like this. The iron entered into his soul. Do you have a picture of what that would mean? What is iron? Iron represents a metal. It's a very hard metal. It's strong. It's useful in building strong things. When I think of Joseph and I examine his reactions, one thing I do not see, I do not see that he had bitterness in his heart. I do not see him as a man that was unforgiving. I see his example of believing in spite of. When God seemed far away, when he didn't seem present, when the cupbearer that promised to speak to Pharaoh for him forgot him. 2 years passed. Did that mean God had forgotten him? I didn't see Joseph as blaming God. He waited and tarried and waited. So he was in a hard place. But when I think about this, the iron that entered his soul, I see that as the power of God, the grace of God, helping him through his difficult, hard places and bringing him to an end. Thank the Lord. So I think of it as the iron, as being the grace and the power that sustained him. And we can see the end of Joseph. Thank the Lord. I was thinking also of his father, Jacob. We're not going to do a lot of reading on that, but Jacob was a tested and a tried man. And some of it was brought on by his own actions. He was betrayed, but he also betrayed. And so he had to suffer some things. And now listen, in some of the things we pass through, let us make sure that we're not the purpose of what we're going through. That I am not the cause of my trial and hard place. So we see that Jacob was also, went through many hard places. We see him also when he was returning to his homeland and he met with God. Or maybe we should say God met with him. And Jacob, and we think, to me it's the outstanding point of Jacob's life when he wrestled all night with the angel or with God, whichever way you want to call it. But he wouldn't turn loose until he was blessed. And ultimately, he received the blessing, but he also received a new name. Our hard places can change our personalities, who we are, what we are, how other people might see us. But we have to go through some hard places to, and I hesitate to use this term, for it is not by reputation. But can we have a reputation of being able to bear some hard things and coming out with victory? Can we have that testimony? I don't want a reputation of being turning away from God and rejecting what he has for me in my life. I want to be able to say, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. Was that a hard place for Christ? The scriptures verify that sweat came down his brow, his face, as though it were drops of blood. That the adrenaline, we cannot imagine what he was battling as he was in that hard place in the garden. And yet, it says that the angel of the Lord came and strengthened him. And he was able to get up and go and face the ultimate hard place that you and I have never faced. But he has grace for us. He wants to put iron in our souls that we can bear these things. Oh, we may look around. Listen, we are a spoiled people. We have had an easy life compared to generations before us. And people in other countries, Christians that have been persecuted, those that were their lives taken, that were martyred simply because they accepted Christ as their Savior and they wouldn't deny it. And they were sent to the arena. They were sent to the fire. And yet we have been so blessed. We have not had to face the firing squad because we chose to meet here today. We're not afraid that the police are going to come in and arrest us. But today in other countries, there are people that are suffering, going through hard things for the name of Christ. So Jacob, he won. his new name. And that name was that he would be called Israel. He wouldn't be known by that man that was one that would betray and one that would... His reputation changed. And yet, I'm saying all of that to say this. I want to read a portion of the scripture of when Jacob came to Egypt, and here he is seeing his son alive, whom he thought was dead. Yes, he suffered grief, thinking he would never see Joseph, his favorite son. It's not good, but it was his favorite son. So we were down to the scene of all of the children of Israel at that time coming to Egypt and going to live out a good life in Egypt for that generation. But this is what happened to Joseph, to Israel or Jacob. The Pharaoh came and asked him what his age was and asked him about his life. And he said this. Now, we're talking about hard things. This was Jacob's words. Oh, my life has been few and evil have the days of the years of my life. So does that say he went through some hard places? He remembered it right in the face of the joy of seeing his own son alive again. We might be tempted to focus a little bit more on the hard places when we need to be praising and enjoying the blessings of the Lord. We've got to allow the praises of God to some way minister unto us in our hard places. I'd like to talk about the life of Paul just a little bit. And we're all familiar with the life of Paul, the kind of man that he was. His reputation was not the best among the Christians of that time. He was a persecutor of those that followed Christ. And yet on his way, on the way to Damascus, he met an altering event in his life. It changed him for the rest of his life. Aren't you glad that we know the end of these Bible characters, that we see how God brought them through their hard places? Well, we'll just speak a little bit about that experience on the way to Damascus. He was blinded, and they led him into the city, and he fasted for 3 days, would not eat or drink for 3 days. He heard the voice of the Lord when he cried out to him, Lord, who are you? And Jesus identified himself and said, it is hard to kick against the pricks. You're persecuting me. And as that revelation sunk into his understanding, there was grief. He was sorry that he had ever taken the way that he took. So we find that Ananias, God spoke to him, told him to go and speak to Paul and also to heal his eyes, open his eyes at the same time. But this is what God told Ananias to say to Paul. The Lord said, I will shew him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Oh, I appreciate the life of Paul, don't you? He did suffer many things. In 2 Corinthians 11th chapter, starting around verse 24, Paul gives a witness of some of his sufferings. And I'm just going to give part of those. He said, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. He was beat 39 stripes 5 different times. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. In journeyings often, in perils of water, perils of robbers, perils of my own countrymen, and perils of the heathen, and perils of the sea, and false brethren, and weariness, and painfulness, in watchings, in hunger, and thirst, and cold, and fastings, and nakedness, and besides those things, that which cometh upon me daily. So he wrote of a lot of his, he described it in that passage right there. So he suffered, but he suffered many other things also. We find also that he had some dark places in his life. And in 2 Corinthians 1:8, it says, "For we would not have you ignorant of our trouble." You know, sometimes we can be so private. We don't want to share our troubles. And sometimes we might think, well, may I be open and honest? You are a minister. You're supposed to be strong. You're not supposed to share these burdens. Paul was strong in the Lord, and yet he said, I don't want you to be ignorant of my troubles. And then he went on and he said, we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch we despaired of even our life. Paul had those times that was so hard. He was in despair. Do you think that you may come to a place that you despair? You will. Maybe you haven't up to this point, but before you leave this world, we have an opposer. We have an enemy that is trying to destroy and wear out the saints of the Most High God. His purpose is to kill, steal, and destroy. Don't be ignorant of that. When you come to your hard place, when you come to that place that you almost despair of life, when the enemy is trying to tell you nobody cares. Anybody ever heard those words? If you're human, I believe you've heard those words. You've had that temptation. We sang several songs that were encouraging songs this morning, talking about Jesus being our friend. I want to tell you, find your friendship in Christ. Your other friendships, we sang about our friends that depart from us or leave us or don't understand us, all of that, it can happen. But keep your eyes on the Lord. In your despair, whether you feel like it or not, are you going to have to do it whether you feel like it or not? You are. I am. I've been there. You've probably been there too. Paul felt in despair of his life. Now I want to go to the 2 Corinthians, and I want to read chapter 12, and I'm going to look at verses 7 through 10. This is another account of Paul. We've read his sufferings. We've read his own words of how he despaired of life, but he had some other tests that you and I may face also. This is a time when he said that it was a messenger of Satan came to buffet him. Verse 7. Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. I'm going to stop there just a little bit. You know, in our humanity, sometimes we can be lifted up. The praise of man. Don't swallow the praise of man. Pride is a killer of our spiritual life. God hates pride. And Paul is seeing right here, oh, God has worked with me in such great and mighty ways. That's what this is saying. He's given me divine revelations. I had the privilege that I was even able to see in the third heaven. And he began to think about all of the things that he was revealed unto him. Don't take it to yourself and claim it. If God is blessing your life, roll the praise onto him. Don't think that I'm worthy. We are unprofitable servants, the scripture says. God's favor to you and me is unmerited. I cannot be good enough to deserve God's great favor. Let's not forget this. We're just all human beings of the earth, and the enemy is trying to either build us up or tear us down. That's the experience that I have found. He's either wanting me to feel lifted up or he wants me to be crushed. He never stops somewhere in between. He's relentless. Remember this in your own walk. So Paul here is saying, I had all of these divine revelations and something happened to me because of that. A thorn came into my flesh. And he called it the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. You know, sometimes maybe the afflictions that have come into our life is for humility. I stand before you today with a mark of the hand of God on my life. My life changed in a moment, but God's left his mark. He wants me to live with that mark that he has placed on my life. Paul here, verse 8 says, I sought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. And you and I may do that too. In the hard places that come to us in life, we may desire to be relieved of them. We may even ask the Lord, please relieve me of this trial, of this darkness, of these tears. We may cry out like that, but the Lord may say the same thing to us as he said to Paul. The Lord said to him, no, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. We need to claim that scripture for ourselves all the time. It will help us to bear our crosses, our hard places. It will help us to bear the wounds and the hurts and the afflictions, whatever God is sending in order to keep us in a low place. Does God want us in a low place? He does. He wants us to be humble, and he teaches us humility. Now let's see what Paul, his reaction here. So he said, when Christ said this to him, he said, most gladly will I rather glory in my infirmities than that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And therefore, he said, I take pleasure in infirmities. I'm going to tell you, it's hard to take pleasure in every infirmity. I'm going to insert this here also. When you are in that place of your infirmity and it's hard, don't allow the enemy to beat you up because you're feeling the hardness of it.
That's right.
Know that God is going to do for you just as he did all of the Bible characters in the Bible. He brought them through. He brought them out, and he's going to bring you and me out. Thank the Lord. So Paul said he takes pleasure in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. And one other translation says it like this: when I am weak, then am I dynamite. Not in yourself, but in the power of Christ and his grace. His grace makes it sufficient for us to be able to bear what he allows us to bear. Now, this is the end of Paul. This is what he said. I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. I have finished my course. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me at that day, and not to me only. And this is what I want to leave with us. But to all of them who love his appearing, let us endure to the end and be saved. Paul had iron in his soul. He had the power of Christ in his soul. He had the grace that he could endure to the end, that he could have that testimony. And he'd say, it's okay. For me to live is Christ, but for me to die is gain. Thank the Lord. I want to speak briefly about the three Hebrew children. Oh, there's so many things that could be said of these Bible examples for you and me to look at. We have examples among us today. It's not all in the Bible. God is calling for you and me to be examples to our fellow saints. But with the three Hebrew children, we know the account. They would not bow. They would not worship a false god. And they knew the price. And they expected it to be their end, no doubt. They did not know the end of that particular story. But they endured it anyway. They went all of the way. They said to the king, they said, we're not careful to answer you. We've made our choice. Have you made your choice? Have we made our choice to go? I'm going to use this term. It's part of the saints' vocabulary, to go all the way. That's the saints' vocabulary. Another term that we are familiar with is to be saved to the uttermost. Do we understand that's a special vocabulary? And we understand that. We know how it happens. We know that it is not anything of ourselves. So the three Hebrew children, when they said that we're not careful to answer, if God delivers us, fine. But if he does not, that's what we need. Lord, if you choose not to deliver me from this place, I will trust you anyway. I will believe in you. I will not charge you foolishly. Did you know that people that do not get their way, and I don't say that in an ugly way, when their desires are rejected and God is saying, no, my grace is sufficient for you, they can turn and charge God food. Why? Why did you allow this in my life? Well, we see the end. And we are sometimes encouraged to even say, Lord, be the fourth man in my fire. Yes. Because they stood it. They were thrown into the fiery furnace. And they looked down there and there was a fourth man in the fire. And the fire had no power over them. Their clothes did not smell of smoke. It did not singe their hair. It did not burn their skin. They were walking loose among the fire with God. And if that was not in the Bible and you came to your fiery furnace, would you be encouraged enough to say, God, walk with me in this fiery furnace? Aren't you glad that these men were faithful and that they endured and they had iron in their soul and they went to what they thought was their death, but it was not. They came out. God can bring us out of our fiery furnaces. Did you know that God's promises and God's providences do not always lift us out of our hard places? It will pay us to count the cost. We started out just a little bit in the beginning of counting the cost. Did you know you almost have to count the cost every day? Because we know not what a day will bring forth. We don't know what is on the morrow. We don't know what a moment will do to change our lives. I want to tell you, it was spoken of here at prayer request time as someone that had a bad car wreck. Yeah. That can happen in a moment. And it can alter our lives forever. And I'm not talking about you dying, but possibly taking a loved one's life. It happened to us. Most of you know. In 1980, I was hit by a drunk driver head on. Had my daughter and her 16-year-old friend with us. They were both killed. I lived. It altered our lives. It was hard. And yet, God, even though He doesn't always deliver us from that exact hard place, He brings us through with a purpose. What is His purpose? I can testify to you today that that event in my life altered me spiritually for the rest of my life. That event worked for good. The word of the Lord says He promised that. He may not promise to turn the event away, but He'll say, this event is going to produce something in your life that nothing else could. And that's my testimony. So, faith. Can faith be perfected? Most of the time, it's the only way it can be. Can we grow and develop spiritually without it? I'm going to say the growth will be slower without it. What is God's purpose? He's wanting to make you and me vessels of honor. Honor to ourselves? God forbid. But honor unto God. What we do in our life is not to magnify our flesh. It is to magnify the Spirit of God in our flesh. I'd like to consider the 11th chapter of Hebrews. And at the top of my Bible, it has some little subtitles. And it says in the 11th chapter on one page, it says, the worthy fruits of faith in the Father of old. And the title on the second page is, exhortation to faith, patience, and godliness. And we know all of the characters that are named there. We know their beginnings. We know their endings. And these are the words I want to leave with you. Verse 33 of the 11th chapter. Because it's given the names of all of these other people, and then it starts talking about people that they don't have names. And I call these words action words. You know, when you took grammar, English in school, you had to learn what those action words were. There's some action words here. And it says that, here's some of the action words. That's what I want to leave to us today. These characters who, through faith, subdued kingdoms. The action word is subdued. God's calling for you and me to subdue these things that come in our life, that we overcome them, that they don't overcome us. Lord, help us. Wrought righteousness. It produced something. Wrought is the action word. Obtained promises. That's the action word. Obtained. And the promises are only gained when you and I reach out and believe them and have faith in the Word of God that what He says He will do, He will do, and He will keep. God will keep you. Other action words, I'm just going to give some of those. They escaped, and they waxed valiant, and they quenched something, and they turned to flight. The armies, you and I can have some action words in our life, in our hard places. The scripture goes on there and it says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises. What if you die and you don't get to receive the promise? The scripture says that they saw the promises afar off and were persuaded. Are you persuaded of the promises of God? We all must be, because we may die and not receive the promise. We may be called on to go through the hard things and die. And we know that the scripture tells us that we all have an appointment. We're not going to live here forever. There is one scripture that came to my mind. It's in Psalms 81 and 16. I'm not going to read it all. I'm just going to give you a part that is very important to us today. And it says, "With honey out of the rock should I satisfy them." What does that mean? He's wanting us to find sweet things in our hard places. And that's not easy. But if we pursue it and seek after it, I think he says in one place, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." We can taste of him in our hard place and find him sweet. In closing, I want to read Isaiah 43, because this is actually written in one of our hymnals. "How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he hath said, to you who for comfort to Jesus have fled." And then it goes on and it begins to tell what God is going to help you with. "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. And when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, for I am the Lord thy God, thy Savior. Fear not, for I am with thee." May the Lord encourage us today that we embrace our hard places and have iron in our soul. Thank the Lord.